Acts 1:8. We'll pick up where we left off last week and continue our discussion with the Holy Spirit. Here in the 8:30 service, Pastor covered this a little bit, or this passage this morning, so just a spoiler alert for those of you going to the 10:45. But verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we said the Greek word for power is dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. And so this power that the Holy Spirit has available to him has the power to change things drastically and permanently, was one of the things we had talked about last week. The drastic change that it brings, and then also the permanent. I think, Everett, you mentioned about moving a mountain, or just you can use dynamite to blow up a whole mountain and permanently remove it and make it, in essence, disappear. And if you've ever driven cross country, you can see where they've used the dynamite to just blast, highways, either tunnels or through a mountain range to try to get it down lower. And that's a very drastic change. I mean, I guess I don't know about permanent. You could always, I guess, fill it back in or try to rebuild it. But in essence, it's for all practical purposes, a permanent change. So the characteristics of the Holy Spirit's power within us. Last week we said he purifies us. It's much the essence of refining as fire, purifying things with fire, often with metal. We put metal in pots of some sort, and we put the fire underneath them to melt the metal, to get rid of the dross. We take that off the top. So it burns away the imperfections, it burns away anything impure within it, and then it allows things to be brought forth pure, and we often think of gold in that. So the Holy Spirit is doing that within us. He is burning sin, or purifying us from sin, from within and from without. He's cleansing our flesh so that we don't have a desire to sin. I trust the longer that you experience salvation, the longer that you are striving to live for the Lord, that your desire to sin is less and less. That you don't have the same propensity for sin today that you did, the day that you got saved. The longer that you were saved, the more that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, that desire or the propensity for sin should diminish during that time. And that is that process of purification within your life. And, part of that process, too, is the idea that we want to remain pure. We don't want to go back into sin. We don't want to be like the pigs, that you can wash them and clean them and do all that. But what is their propensity? What do they want to do? They want to go wallow in the mud. They just enjoy that. That's a lot of fun. Heather and Jeremiah have a few of them, and they just enjoy rolling around in the mud and eating all the junk in out of the woods and all of that. And that's not what the Holy Spirit wants for us as believers. He wants us to become cleansed and to be clean and to get less dirty each and every day. Now, that doesn't mean that we're ever going to reach a point until we get to heaven where we don't sin any longer, but that should be our goal. That should be our desire, that I don't want to sin. I don't want to offend God. And so I'm striving every day to overcome those things through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, and some through my own will, that my own desire of I don't want to do this. And so, We have this idea in Scripture about working out your own salvation. So part of it is, I don't want to sin. So what am I going to do to avoid that? Well, I'm going to not go to places that cause me to sin. I'm not going to look at things that cause me to sin. I'm not going to read things that cause me to sin. I'm going to guard my eyes, guard my feet, guard my hands. Those are things that I can do. But then I also have to rely upon the Holy Spirit and this power that he has, this great transforming power, and rely upon it as well. How many of you are familiar with Ron Hamilton? All right, just about half of you. Ron Hamilton also goes by the name Patch the Pirate. Does that help any? All right, so more of you know Patch the Pirate than Ron Hamilton. Who remembers kind of the early life of Ron Hamilton? All right, you can all see that he has a patch on his eye. Debbie? All right, he had cancer in his eye when he was a very young man, and that had to be removed. And if you remember, what testimony does he give about that? Anybody remember? Yep. Yes, okay, good. When it first happened, when he first found out that he had cancer, he really struggled with that. And he was very bitter against God in the early days. And then, as Kathy said, he was, going, but he had the patch on. I think he was at the doctor's office, and, a little boy looked at him and he said, "Are you a pirate?" And God used that just to trigger his thought of, you know what? I can either be bitter and go that route, or I can use this for something good. And then God laid on his heart to begin the ministry of Patch the Pirate and writing children's songs. And if you have small children, I would encourage you to get those CDs and listen to them. Yes, Ethan. Which one? Do you remember? Because there's a bunch of them. When your Aunt Heather was little, we had tried to get almost all of them. But you don't remember which one. But Ron Hamilton also wrote songs for adults as well. It wasn't all children's music. But one of the songs that he wrote, and this was really kind of, I don't know if it was the very first song that he wrote, but I believe that it was. After his eye cancer, and he says, "God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." And that really and truly was Ron Hamilton's life story. God used him to bring forth so much fruit over the years. And he just passed away last week. Last Saturday was, he had the funeral at Bob Jones or the memorial service. So it was a couple weeks ago. What's that? The 19th? Okay. After, again, just, long bout with dementia, actually, at the end of the last 2-3 years, really struggled with that. But God used him mightily because he was willing to take what we would look at as a bad situation, and he allowed God to turn that around and make something very good out of it and utilize that. So this purification process, and if you ask anyone that's gone through it, you know, ask Ron Hamilton, ask anyone, it's not fun, it's not enjoyable during the process. But again, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work through it afterward, it is very rewarding. And you can look back and you can see the growth. You can see the maturity. And often that fire of the Holy Spirit is very painful. I mean, it hurts. And it's going to hurt. You know, every time you get cut, every time you injure yourself, you pull a muscle, you strain some, whatever it is, it hurts. You know, those of you that have had surgeries, the surgery, just the process of the surgery and the healing is painful. I've always thought, and I know Everett, you're an anesthetist, but that they always give you just enough to make you feel good till you get home. And then, by the time you get home and whatever, that all starts wearing off and, the pain kind of hits a little bit more. And then during that healing process, there is pain. But, the surgery is necessary, it's needful, and the end result is that it's cured something, it's helped something. And so the chastisement, the admonishment often go against what we desire in our flesh, but it's necessary for our spiritual growth. And so the end results of that, that purification, are for the best. So as the Lord purifies us, we are made acceptable in His sight. We're made ready to use in His kingdom. And let's remember, are we talking about a future kingdom or a present kingdom? Or both? All right, both. But for us, more specifically, presently. God wants us to be, and we hear it all the time. What are the two things we hear all the time? God wants us to be blank and blank. Salt and light. We hear that all the time. We are to be salt and light, salt and light, salt and light. And we've discussed that before. How salt gives flavor, how salt, adds to all these things that salt does. It preserves that idea. And then light in the darkness. We are to allow the light of God, the light of Christ, to reflect off of us or to shine through us. Again, we can describe it many different ways. Whether we're just saying I'm a reflection of God's light, of Christ's light, or whether we're saying that the light of the Holy Spirit within me, I'm allowing it to come out of me. But that idea that we don't just bottle it up, we don't just hide it. We teach our children, or we taught our children, and they sing in the nurseries and children's program, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. No, we have all the hand motions to go along with that. I'm going to let it shine. Let your light shine. And often, is that easy or hard? What's that? It varies. Exactly. Sometimes it's really easy to do, but sometimes based on the circumstance or the situation you're in, it's hard to do that. But we're still called to let the light shine. It doesn't say let your light shine when it's easy or only do it when it's convenient. We are to let that light shine all the time. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of whether it's easy or hard or difficult or whatever the circumstance. Our purity of heart can't be separated from the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got to understand that our purity comes from God. Apart from God, apart from the transforming work of God, there is no light, there is no purity. And so that We can't just, you know, we can't try and separate them. They go hand in hand. And that's so important for us to understand that as a believer, I have the Holy Spirit. We mentioned that several weeks ago. You know, we can't say, when were you, you know, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're a believer, yes. You know, the day that I trusted Christ, the day I put my faith in Christ, I was filled with Him. And I have the Holy Spirit. I just have to utilize His power. I have to allow Him to work in me and through me and do that. It's that same concept where we say, is Jesus your Lord? Well, if He's your Savior, yes, He's your Lord. He's both. You can't separate that and say, well, I just want to be my Savior, but I'm really not going to serve Him. We can't do that. So we're purified by the Holy Spirit, and we continue to walk in purity because the Holy Spirit's presence and power is with us. And that's our goal, is that, okay, and what do we mean when we say we're purified by the Holy Spirit? Does that mean we never sin again? Obviously, no. So in what way are we purified by the Holy Spirit? All right, it should reduce our desire for sin, but on a bigger scale. All right, the Spirit's leading us through the sanctification process. All right, let's get even bigger.
He gives me a desire to seek Him more.
All right, gives us the desire to seek Him more. Luke? All right, we're justified. You know, it's through that, you know, as I, you know, depending how you want to verbalize it, but, you know, when we put our faith in Christ. And this kind of, it's like all this is happening at once. So God calls us. The Holy Spirit gives us the faith to believe. I believe. So depending which side of the coin you want to look at, you know, from God's perspective, He's drawing us. He's giving us the faith. He's giving us the belief to believe. From our side, I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, I believe. I hear the truth. The preaching goes forth. The gospel's taught, preached. I hear it. I believe it. I put my faith in Him. And so at that moment, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I am, it's just as if I've never sinned in the eyes of God now, through the blood of Christ. And, you know, that blood covers my sin. So I get the gift of salvation. I'm getting the Holy Spirit. I'm indwelt with Him. And in this eyes of God now, through the, He sees me through the blood of Christ, just as though I've never sinned. And I'm pure. Now, I know I still sin. I know I'm, you know, God sees me as perfect, or God sees me as pure. But, you know, below the blood here, I still have to live in my flesh. I still have a walk in this sinful world. And so my desire then should be, and with the strength of the Holy Spirit, my desire to sin, my sanctification process, all of this should be an ongoing thing throughout my whole life. So there's no way that I can just clean my life up apart from Him enabling me to do that. You know, we often talk in, or we often hear from the secular world around New Year's about doing what? The New Year's resolutions, and then turning over what? New leaves. You know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to turn this. But again, how often do most of them last? For someone, what? Yeah, you know, a day, a week, a month. And that's about it. Because within our own strength, it's very difficult to make a lasting change. Now, can it be done? Sure. You know, if someone has enough willpower, they can, you know, change their eating habits, you know, and they can change, you know, they can quit drinking soda. They can quit, you know, this, that, or the other, and hopefully make it stick. But and from a spiritual standpoint, there's no way that I can just make myself quit sinning apart from the Holy Spirit and apart from His power. And so let's keep that in mind. You know, we can't just clean up our lives by changing our behavior. We can't just start going to church and expecting, you know, the Bible study or the group I'm in and the accountability partner for them to make all of that, you know, all my sin go away or change my life. It's only as I yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to continue to do that work in me that I'll be cleansed completely when I see Christ first and foremost or ultimately in life. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power that He possesses. Thank you for the transformation that He does within us. And I just ask that you would allow Him to continue to do that work in us. And then may we share what He does with us and in us. May we share that with others. May it be real to us. And may we see the work that He's doing and then communicate that to others so that they too may have the opportunity to believe and put their faith in you. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.